Hey guys, I'm Eric Greitens, Navy SEAL and host of Actionable Intelligence. Now, this episode is brought to you by Heritage Action. Heritage Action is America's leading conservative grassroots organization, as many of you know. For the last decade, they and their network of activists across the country have led the fight against the Washington establishment. Heritage Action is also sponsoring Just the News for our very first Blue Courage event, and I've been amazed at how they have stood up to support our police officers in 2020. I encourage you, please, to go out to www.policepledge.com. Check out the work they're doing to get our lawmakers to support our men and women in law enforcement. To date, Heritage Action has gotten over 500 elected officials and candidates to take the pledge. This is important because they're opposing the defund the police movement and standing up for our police officers. It's incredible work. It's so important to make sure that our representatives in government don't turn their backs on the police, but instead have the backs of our police. So every listener of this podcast, I encourage you, go out to www.policepledge.com. Check it out for yourself. You can sign the pledge and then make sure that your elected officials have signed on to. Just go to www.policepledge.com. Talk to you soon.
Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down. And my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition and, of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News, where we're so grateful you're joining us again today. We have got a jammed-packed show. I've got two big members of Congress back-to-back today. I can't believe how lucky we are. Thanks to Jacqueline for making all these guests available to us today. Jacqueline works here at Just the News. She's an amazing talent. And she got us the double book of the day. Senator Marsha Blackburn on the Senate Judiciary Committee joining us on the eve of the committee's vote to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett. She's also been a leading voice on censorship and privacy among the big social and search giants. Started on this like 8-10 years ago. And everything she predicted, I was back at the Washington Times as editor-in-chief at the time when I saw then Congresswoman Blackburn raising these concerns, and she was right about them, and all of her concerns have been played out over the last couple of weeks. We're going to talk to Senator Blackburn in just a few seconds. A lot to talk about. Coney Barrett, the Democrats' diss of Feinstein for being civil to Lindsey Graham. That and so much more that we'll be talking to with the great senator from the great state of Tennessee. And then right after that, we're going to come back and have Congressman Jim Jordan, that's right. The guy that rolls up his sleeves, never wears a jacket, is down there in the front lines and was one of the most important voices, one of the most important investigators in unraveling the Russia collusion investigation. He's joining us, and we're going to spare all that time for them. I'm not going to do my monologue today. We're going to go right to interviews. So we're going to go to this commercial break. So we have maximum time when we come back. Congressman Jim Jordan, but first, Senator Marsha Blackburn, back to back. Two big interviews. I hope you enjoy it. We'll be right back after this great message from our sponsors and advertisers. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And I promised a special guest, and we have one today. Senator Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee, a very important member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And we're going to talk about how prescient she was, too, in a few seconds. But welcome to the show, Senator.
Well, thank you so much. I am absolutely thrilled to be with you. Thank you.
Well, it's an honor to have you back on the show, and it's been great. I want to some big news tomorrow, right? Senate Judiciary Committee votes on the nomination for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. You feel good about the vote?
I do feel good about the vote. I think that what we have is an eminently qualified nominee. She did a superb job in the hearings. Our friends across the aisle did what we expected our friends across the aisle to do. And she was able to rebut all of their opposition. She did it all without a single note in front of her. And she pushed forward to completion on this. And we're going to take the vote tomorrow and send her to the floor for a confirmation. She should be confirmed on Monday.
Yeah, that's a big moment. Hard to believe that it got done in just a little over 40 days. Pretty impressive.
Yes. Yes.
When you look at yesterday's ruling, there was a 4-4 ruling yesterday where Roberts sided with the liberal wing and over the Pennsylvania voting. First of all, are you frustrated with John Roberts? And secondly, how important will adding Amy Coney Barrett to the bench be to settling some of these cases that have close margins?
Well, what we know is that Judge Barrett is going to be a constitutionalist.
Right.
She has mentioned this time and again to us, so we expect that she's going to continue in that vein. You know, Chief Justice Roberts is someone who, with him, he goes by the rule of law. He looks at precedent, and he sees a more liberal tint on some of this than I would, but I tell you, I think that what we have to do is say that is his ruling. And the thing with a constitutionalist or an originalist judge is if the law is more liberal in its allowance, they're going to rule in a more liberal manner.
Right. Yeah, that is an important point. People forget that. That's very true.
Yes.
There was a moment in the committee a couple days ago that I'm actually been jaw-dropped about the reaction to it. But Senator Feinstein, in a moment of civility, reached out and had a hug or great moment with Senator Graham,
yeah.
Chairman Graham, and her entire party has abandoned her. I wonder if you could just talk about that. You know all these people firsthand, and you know the civility that often goes on behind the scenes. Are you surprised by her party's reaction of almost chastising her for being cordial?
If you ever wanted a group to make the point that they have given up on bipartisanship and civility, that did it. You had Dianne Feinstein offering a handshake and a hug at the conclusion of four contentious days.
Right.
And congratulating Chairman Graham on how he exercised bipartisanship. He never cut them off. He let them have their say. He didn't gavel them down. He gave them extra time for questions.
That's right.
And she thanked him for that. And it infuriated the left. It shows you that they do not want to work in a bipartisan way. They want domination. They want total control, and in large part, that is what this election is about for them. They feel like they've got a clean sweep coming with the House, the Senate, and the White House. And if they do, Katie, bar the door. Their 100-day agenda is something that is frightening taking away health care from 153 million Americans in private health insurance and 57 million Americans that have paid into Medicare all their working life, and putting everybody into the same government-run program. You wouldn't even have your doctor. It wouldn't be a debate. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. What you're going to have is a bureaucrat who's going to tell you what you can do. They plan to implement the Green New Deal. The first 100 days calls for repealing the Trump tax cuts, increasing the corporate tax rate. It calls for statehood for D.C. and for Puerto Rico, expanding the Supreme Court and abolishing the Electoral College. So that is their mission, and it's why they don't want Judge Barrett on the bench, and it's why they are not interested in civility.
It's an amazing time, and that just two minutes that you just took there really sums up the choice that American voters have this election. Do you feel good about the election? I mean, when you look out, and you've been a big supporter of President Trump, you've been a big cheerleader for all the Republican Party for so long, how do you feel about the final 13 days of the election?
You know, I feel like the president is in a pretty good shape. He is pretty much where he was last time around. And I think that's a good thing for him. You know, when you look at where Hillary Clinton was, I think that the president is, you know, he's right there at the same. He is where he was with Biden in relation to where he was with Clinton. He's in a little bit. Yeah, he's in better shape when it comes to states like Pennsylvania and Minnesota and North Carolina. He is up in Florida. These are important measures, and people want to know, what has the president done? They want to know what he's going to do with the next 4 years. They're curious. I don't think it is necessarily a game changer, but they're really curious about what has happened around Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Biden Incorporated, if you will, for lack of a better word.
Right, right.
They're frustrated with that. And, you know, they don't want somebody who has family members that are going to sit around all day looking for ways to trade off the big guy, as they call
right,
him.
Right.
Trade off
right
his name. Yeah, yeah. Trade off his name or trade off his position. And that is not fair. And, you know, one of the things, John, it leads to is asking, okay, you look at these deals that Hunter Biden has with China, and these are not things that are assumptions or we think this is what happened. This has been corroborated by Devin Archer and the other partner who's
right.
now in prison.
Right.
And so these are things that did happen, and these are emails that exist. We do know that it was his laptop. So there is a lot of evidence around this. It's not hearsay. And people are going, this makes me uneasy. And I think for many of those suburban moms, in my opinion, they're going to look at this. They're going to look at the hesitancy of Joe Biden to speak out against the anarchy and the chaos and the rioting, the fact that law enforcement and first responders have not endorsed Joe Biden, unions have not endorsed Joe Biden,
yeah.
Boilermakers, you know. And I think this is going to weigh into those undecided voters, and the undecideds have been pretty high, actually.
They have. There's no doubt about it. You can see it in the polling, and the race mm-hmm. always breaks in that last 10 days. So we're right in that period now where we probably see the race break. Now, I want to give you credit before you leave, because I can go back to 2014-15 timeframe, and I can remember when I was editor of the Washington Times, you were one of the very first people I can remember talking about the single state, this idea that these social media oligarchs and the news media and the bureaucrats and the Democratic Party could be really infringing on America's free speech. And now everything that you were predicting and warning about has come true. Talk about what Facebook and Twitter has done over the last few weeks, and what it really means for the America that we're so used to being living in.
Yes, and what it means is that you have the big social media companies that have decided they're going to operate more like a government than a company. They came to us saying, we're going to be the public square. As you mentioned, it was 8 years ago, John, that I started on the issue of online privacy.
You did?
Of course, had a bill, the Browser Act, which now forms the crux of the privacy bill that has bipartisan support that we're moving forward on. But the Democrats, Pelosi stopped it when we got ready to mark that bill up in the House. She pulled all the Democrats off of it, and I went back to work trying to build bipartisan support.
Right.
And it's taken 8 years, but we're getting there. But here is the thing that should concern people. The Democrats have tried to shield big tech from their data mining, their online snooping, working through your search, pulling information about you, and basically building a shadow of you, your virtual you, which is you and your presence online. So what they did was to build a doppelganger, if you will, of you in the virtual space. And then they have used that to market to you and to predict what your next moves were going to be, what your needs were going to be, so they could market that information and benefit off of it. So yesterday we got a lawsuit from DOJ, it is DOJ versus Google.
Right.
So this is a very good thing. It goes after them for the search monopoly that they have, and then looks not only at search, but their anti-competitive business practices, where they have worked with developers and really kind of tied them up.
Yeah.
You look at the deals they had with Apple.
That's
you look
so
at the deals with.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Mozilla, you look at what is transpiring with some of the carriers, and you say, okay, they were working from the ground up, and they were buying out competition.
Yep.
So that they would not have new starts that were going to cause them any headaches. And that's why they control 94% of search, and you have Yahoo, Bing, and Duck that are controlling 2% each.
It's almost unbelievable to think that we live in a world where 94% domination has occurred. Last question, because I know you have to go. Will we see some of these social media giants testifying next week in the Senate?
Oh, yes. We issued on a bipartisan basis nearly 3 weeks ago now, we issued subpoenas to the CEOs of Google, Facebook, and Twitter. And they will be before us on the 28th. We have our hearing set, and we're looking forward to it.
That's going to be a big moment. I can't wait to tune in for that. Well, Senator, I want to thank you for everything you've done. Thanks for joining us again. And
sure.
We'll be sure to talk to you right after the election, because there's going to be a lot to talk about.
Great. Thanks
All right.
so much.
Have a great
Take
day.
Care now.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, we're going to come right back. We're going to come a commercial break. And when we come back, Congressman Jim Jordan from the great state of Ohio joins us. Buckle your seatbelt. We got a lot to talk about in the scandal world, Russia, Ukraine, Biden, privacy. Get ready for it. We'll be right back after the messages from our great sponsors and advertisers. Hey, folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS
They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of Triple Lock Home Title Protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, the congressman from Ohio, the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. You know him as one of the champions of unraveling the Russia collusion narrative that was cast on America for 3 years. Congressman Jim Jordan, welcome back to the show.
Well, good to be with you, John. And you're certainly one of the people who have been most instrumental in unraveling this this mess and what the Obama-Biden Justice Department did. So it's good to be with you.
Well, it's an honor to have you. And so many issues to talk about, so many that really affect your committee, the House Judiciary Committee. I want to start off with the big social media censorship that's been going on, the New York Post being censored. You sent a very strong letter. You're calling for two things, right? A focus on these social giants and their influence in the election, and maybe a special prosecutor look at this. Bring us up to speed on what you're seeing and hearing and why this is so important to the American public.
Well, we start from the premise that big tech's out to get conservatives. I said this at committee hearings. That's not a suspicion. That's not a hunch. That's a fact. We've seen evidence time after time. You got countless examples. So when you start from that premise and then see what they did with this Biden story, just days and weeks before the presidential election, it just underscores how they're out to help the Democrats. And you know, and I know what they did in 16 when Google had with the email that came out the day after the election. That showed that Google was trying to configure their features in a way to help the Clinton campaign. So we caught them then. We got the evidence of what they tried to do. They tried to configure their features to turn out the Latino vote, and the qualifying words were in key states. They were trying to turn out the Latino vote in Nevada and Florida because they thought that was going to help Clinton.
Right.
So we caught them there. Now they're doing this. And what we've done is we introduced legislation 3 weeks ago, 12 Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee to fundamentally gut and change Section 230, which you've heard a lot from Senator Hawley and others, has to be done if we're ever going to be able to get some kind of liability reform on these big tech companies who are, as I said, attacking conservatives and out to get conservatives.
Yeah, such an important point. And when you look at Section 230 is one thing. Is there anything in the interim that the Justice Department or Congress can do absent changing that section of the law? Is there a claim to be made that by doing this, they're restraining interstate commerce? Are there some unique legal arguments that victims, people who like the New York Post, could potentially pursue?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing we can do now, remember, we're just days before the election. The biggest thing we can do now is draw attention to it. I think there were some stories yesterday where the fact that Google and Facebook tried to censor the New York Post story and did censor the New York Post story actually gave the story more coverage,
isn't
more legs,
amazing?
more viewership. So what we need to do is every single time they try to censor conservatives, they try to help the Biden campaign, we need to call it out, particularly now that as we're just in the final days of this this campaign.
Yeah, such an important point. Absolutely. Now, you also have been very concerned about the way the FBI handled this laptop. They now confirm. I talked to a senior law enforcement official last night. They've had this laptop since December. That was confirmed to me last night. It is not deemed by the FBI nor the DNI to be Russian disinformation. Therefore, they believe it's an accurate representation. How concerned are you about the way the FBI handled this? And secondly, what do you think the solution is? You've been talking about special prosecutor. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, look, we should do anything and everything we can to get to the bottom of this, to get all the facts out there. But I think we know some pretty important things now. The FBI has said that this is the emails and the laptop is not Russian disinformation. The Director of National Intelligence, Ratcliffe, has said it's not Russian disinformation. The Bidens have not denied any of the elements in the story. We now have Mike Emanuel and Fox News have reported that they've seen the drop slip signed by Hunter Biden when he dropped the laptop off at the store there in Delaware. And frankly, our staff has been able to, with the numerous phone calls that we've had with folks over the weekend, our staff has been able to confirm that the emails are in fact authentic. And frankly, John, the term big guy does in fact refer to Vice President Joe Biden. So those are key facts that I think just underscore how important this is. So Let's hope the FBI and the Justice Department are digging into this and really getting the bottom. One of the things would be nice is to actually at some point get some of these key people under oath in front of a committee and ask some questions like Hunter Biden. So we'll see if that can happen at some point down the road as well.
Yeah, that's such an important thing. And when we talk about that one, the big guy email, what's so fascinating about it, now, Vice President Joe Biden's out of office, so there's nothing illegal if he wants to get involved in a business deal with his son. But the company they were dealing with was a Chinese communist company about as closely aligned to the government as anyone is in China. And they're talking about giving a percentage to the son and the vice president, who clearly in 2017 was thinking about running for office. Talk about the national security concern being over the what they call the being over the barrel phenomenon that the counterintelligence people talk about. That's the real issue here. It's not necessarily that it's illegal. It's that it puts his presidency in jeopardy.
Yeah. And frankly, would anyone, any person working on Capitol Hill, or anyone working at the White House be able to get a security clearance if they had the same kind of arrangement in their background with their family members?
Great point.
Of course they wouldn't. But somehow this is an individual who is now campaigning and running for the highest office in our country, couldn't be able to get a White House or Capitol Hill security clearance based on the ties his family has and the emails that demonstrate his connection to all that, wouldn't be able to get a security clearance, and yet he's running for president of the United States. So I think that just sort of shows how serious this is and why it's important that the American people have this information before they decide who the next president is going to be. It's important information for voters to understand.
Yeah, no, that's really the key. When you look at my profession, the reporting profession, I know we've already talked about the social media giants doing their censorship. What do you see in the performance of the media, the inability to ask the vice president very simple questions that if the tables were turned, they would be asking President Trump all day long about? But what do you see?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, the mainstream press won't ask Joe Biden important questions about this topic. And frankly, even if they would, they couldn't because he won't come out of his basement. He's been in hiding now the last several days until we get to the debate. But even if he did come out, you're right, John, I don't think they'd be asking questions because they haven't done it. In fact, what they do is they run with these stories where former intelligence officials say that this is likely Russian disinformation. I thought, these are the same people who told us that the fake dossier was real.
Right.
Now they're telling us that the real laptop and the real emails are fake. So it's interesting how things flip and how they've been wrong, how they are wrong in both situations.
It absolutely blows me away to see the willful ignorance and almost the excuse making that's going on. The double standard is so so real in America. So you're a Republican. You're facing two giant restrictions in the communications world, right? The social media giants and the search giants are constraining you. The media is constraining you. How do you still go about and get your message out? How do you get to everyday Americans and let them know that what the real evidence is that they don't hear about matters and get them informed before Election Day? What are you guys doing to break through all of those strangleholds on information?
We have great guys like John Solomon who report the truth. There are still lots of people out there, not as many, obviously, as the mainstream press. And frankly, there were times when we were thinking about this whole FBI and this Trump-Russia collusion hoax story that there were just a handful of us. But, there are still good folks who take journalism seriously and do it the right way and report the facts and report the truth. And, you know, the American people are able to sift through it. You know, I always tell folks, in spite of everything they tried to do to President Trump's campaign, he still won. He won an electoral college. He won in an electoral college landslide. 63 million voters support him. I think all the energy is on his side. So you go to a Biden event, there'll be five circles on the ground, and there'll only be four people. They can't even fill
up. Pretty
all
lonely the place. There's no doubt.
40,000. So the energy is on our side. I think the American people see through it, and they're going to reelect President Trump.
What do you see in the state of Ohio? That's always one of my favorite states to watch on election night. How is Ohio shaping up both for Trump, for the House seats, for everything that's at stake day?
Yeah, I think the president's going to win again. It feels exactly like 16, in some ways stronger. You know, there's all this organic. I don't remember the boat parades in 2016. I don't remember the truck parades that, you know, the Trump truck parades with all the Trump banners and American flags and everything. I don't remember those in 16.
Yeah, great point.
But you see signs all across the countryside, and it's. I think he won our state by 8.5. in 2016. I think it's every bit as strong this time around. I think we'll be fine in our congressional races as well.
And when you look out across the country, can Republicans pick up some House seats? Do you think the gap in the House shrinks? Senate, what do you see in the House and Senate races?
I mean, I think the president's going to win. That's the key. If the president wins and it breaks big, which I think there's the real capability of, you can feel the energy building on our side. If it breaks big, then we're going to be fine. We're going to keep the Senate. I think we're going to pick up House seats. If it breaks really big, obviously, then we could even take back the majority. But the main thing is keeping the Senate and making sure the president wins re-election so that the left can't continue down this road they've started with the mobs in the street, with the cancel culture mob online, and everything they're trying to do to limit your First Amendment, Second Amendment liberty. That's what's so important. And we need to remember, this president, I remember in the debate when Kamala Harris said in her debate with Vice President Pence, she said, "Oh, you can't trust the president." I'm like, are you kidding me? This president has done more of what he said he would do than any elected official in our lifetime. You can just run down the issues: tax cuts, regulations reduced, growing economy, out of the Iran deal, embassy in Jerusalem, the whole list. He's done it all that he said he would do. So more than anyone, he has done that. And that's the main reason I think he deserves re-election.
And as they close in the final 2 weeks, all the media suggesting, well, there's division among Republicans. I've talked to 150 Republicans. Everyone seems to be behind the president 100%. They don't seem to be nervous.
Yeah.
Like the media stories, there seems to be this false narrative out there. What's the closing argument that the larger conservative movement, the Republicans, make? This really is a choice between the Donald Trump America we just enjoyed the last 4 years and some radical, crazy socialist, Antifa-dominated anarchist America. Is that the election question that everybody's going to turn on, you think?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that it's that basic, and you outlined it well. Can America remain America? The values, institutions, and principles that make our country special, can we keep them intact? This is the greatest country that's ever happened, the greatest country in history. And that's what's at stake. The left thinks America is bad. We all think America is good, not perfect, but good. And we're the greatest country in the world. And that's what's on the ballot in 2 weeks. I think Americans understand it. And I think, again, that's why President Trump's going to get reelected.
Yeah, that's going to be the big question to watch in the next 2 weeks. I bet you it becomes more focused. Races always break in those last 10 days. You can see it when you're a reporter. And this election just feels like it's starting to tip in the last couple of days. It'll be very interesting to see.
I agree.
Voting integrity. You've been a very important voice on this. And there's a lot of great lawsuits out there that are challenging the ups and downs of the changes that Democrats have tried to make. How confident you are that we're going to be able to have an election that has integrity and the votes that should be counted, and those that shouldn't. Are you feeling better about the way the courts are coming down on some of these issues?
I am, but I'm nervous. I mean, it's the first time in American history you have the Democrats trying to win an election after the election.
That's
and unfortunately,
point.
We had John Roberts in the Supreme Court say it's okay in Pennsylvania, which is, as you know, could be the deciding state. It's okay in Pennsylvania to count ballots 3 days after election, even if you can't distinguish the postmark date on the envelope the ballot arrived in.
Right.
So that is problematic. So other than that, you're right. We've been winning in other court decisions in other states. I feel good about that, but I'm very nervous about Pennsylvania and this scenario that the Democrats have set up. You know, one of my colleagues, Mr. Davidson, said it best. He said, why is there just one party who thinks it's okay to count ballots after Election Day, even if you don't know the postmark of the on the envelope the data came in? Why is that? Why is just one party doing that? So that tells you have a major political party for the first time in American history trying to win an election after the election. And that's not how it works in this great country. So in spite of all that, as I said before, I think we're going to win. I think the president's going to get reelected.
And Judge Amy Coney Barrett getting confirmed before, especially after seeing Roberts vote in the 4-4 case in Pennsylvania yesterday. Is she the key to making sure that post-election day that the right decisions are made in the courts?
Yeah, she's just qualified for the court. I mean, I think the whole country was impressed with Miss Coney Barrett. She did a tremendous job, and I look forward to her being on the court. And what a contrast! This president put out the list, told you he would select from the list, selected Gorsuch and Kavanaugh there on the court. Then he put out the other list and said, "I will select from this list if you reelect me." Justice Ginsburg passes, so he picks from that list. He selects Amy Coney Barrett. She's going to go on the court in a matter of days. What a contrast between his actions, doing what he said he would do, and Joe Biden, who won't even answer the court packing question.
Yeah,
we told, we we the people, you don't deserve, we don't deserve an answer. Are you kidding me? So what is that? That in the end, that will come through, and Americans will see it, and they're going to, as I said now several times, they're going to, I believe, reelect President Donald Trump.
It is a remarkable thing. Last question. If Donald Trump is reelected in 2020, what are the biggest priorities that the Republican Party has and the opportunities to achieve things in a second term under Trump?
Make the tax cuts permanent, get our economy up and running at full speed like it was just 7 months ago prior to this virus. Continue to build the wall, continue to put American interests first on trade, on foreign policy, the things that President Trump has done. Continue to win. The president said, we're going to get tired of winning. No one gets tired of winning, because I learned a long time ago, winning beats losing every single time. But continue to win. This president thinks like an athlete. That's one of the things I love about him. And he is focused. He hates to lose. He loves to win. It'll be a continuation of that vision as we move forward.
Well, what a great interview. And thank you for giving us the perspective. All that you've done over the last few years, I know how hard behind the scenes. You don't get credit for this because no one sees what goes on behind the scenes in Washington. But there wasn't a congressman that I knew that fought harder for the truth when the Russia collusion story was coming down. And this country owes you a great debt of gratitude. I'm certain of that because I saw it firsthand. So, Congressman, thanks again. And we'll probably be talking to you right after the election.
Thank you. And let me say you, there wasn't, let me just real quick say there wasn't a reporter who fought harder to get the truth out of you than you did.
Well, I think we might have succeeded in the end. How about that? Yeah, the truth finally
won. You did. You sure did. Yeah. All right. Well,
best of luck to you. All right. We'll talk to you soon, sir. Thank you. All right, folks. We'll be right back to wrap things up in a few minutes, right after these commercial break.
Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews.
All right, folks. Man, how does time fly when you got two great guests like Senator Blackburn and Congressman Jim Jordan back-to-back like that? The time flew by. What an important podcast. So two important people on the front lines of social media censorship, unraveling the Russia collusion narrative, the Joe Biden issues, so much to talk about. And of course, Justice Amy Coney Barrett and her impending confirmation. We'll be back tomorrow with a special edition. We're going to bring some of the reporters in from Just the News to talk about some big stories we've been breaking. So we're going to do a little reporters roundtable. We haven't done that in a while. I know you like that sometimes. Hope you enjoyed today, and we will be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from, you got it, justthenews.com.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.
At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.